would, turn to 2 Corinthians, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. This is right in the second chapter of a two-part chapter on giving. And I would like this message to be basically our introduction to our missions conference. Okay, why are we having a missions conference? What is that all about? And I also want to introduce the idea of faith promise giving. I know some of you have heard of that and know what it is, but some of you might not have heard about it. And we will be talking about faith promise giving throughout our missions conference. 2 Corinthians 9, we're going to go ahead and read the whole chapter. The whole chapter is about giving, ministering to the saints. That's a phrase with the idea of helping the saints financially. Okay, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 1. For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that, as I said, ye may be ready. Lest haply, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we, that we say not ye, should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. Therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whiles by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. And by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Let's pray, please. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. Father, I pray that you would help us to understand the idea of giving to missions. And Lord, I pray that you would help me as I share this message. Give me the words to say. Please take control of my mouth and bless this time now, I pray. In Jesus' precious name we ask. Amen. First of all, as far as giving to missions, we're going to have a missions conference. This is an introduction to our missions conference. As far as giving to missions and giving to certain missionaries, there is great freedom given to individual churches as to the mechanics of supplying the needs. How does a church supply the needs to missionaries? How does a church do its outreach? There's great freedom given in the Bible by God to the individual church. We are not told specifically in what fashion to collect the offering. We are given one instruction, when to collect the offering. That's in 1 Corinthians 16:2. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. So it tells us when to collect the offerings, the tithes and offerings, and the gifts for missionaries. But God gives each individual church the freedom to choose how to collect the offerings. Some pass an offering plate. Some pass an offering bag. Some use a box like we do. Sometimes, like for instance, Longview Baptist Church puts the offering, the box up here in front. We put the box in the back. There's liberty given to individual churches to decide how to take up the tithes and offerings. And the church is given freedom also to choose what missionaries to support. Okay? The Bible doesn't say that your the nearest church near you, you look at their missionaries and you support the same missionaries. It doesn't say that. We're given freedom to choose which missionaries to support. The Bible word for support would be supply. You saw the word supply in this passage a couple of times. Supply the need, supply. Okay, so support would be the Bible word supply. We are not told we have to supply a certain amount of missionaries with a certain amount of support. Or that we have to help supply for the same missionaries that a neighboring church does. There is freedom given to each church to find the missionaries they would like to help. Okay? So I just want to say those things in basic teaching, that there's freedom given to the church to decide who they support. And that only makes sense because you don't want to support someone that doesn't believe like you believe. And so every church is given the freedom to find the missionaries that believe like they do and support those missionaries. So great freedom in supporting missionaries. But there are some basic principles. Okay, there are some basic principles that all of our giving should meet. Turn to 2 Corinthians 9, well, you're there. Look at verse 7 in 2 Corinthians 9, 7. This principle right here. All our giving is to be done on purpose and with a cheerful heart. Verse 7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Giving should be done on purpose. That means it's not haphazard. It's not, well, I don't think I've given enough to God this year, so I'll put another couple dollars in the offering plate. No, it's on purpose. You need to be praying to the Lord and find out what God wants you to give, you see. It's on purpose. And it's done with a cheerful heart. If you can't give to God with a cheerful heart, I'd almost ask you not to give, although that would be disobeying God. You need to give with a cheerful heart. It's a strong, strong thing that needs to happen in your life. You need to have a cheerful heart when you give to God. Our offerings are to be given with thanksgiving, another way of saying a cheerful heart. This is taught by many, many passages in the Bible. This idea of giving with thanksgiving is taught by a major offering in the Old Testament. There is an offering called the thanksgiving offering. That alone should say, I'm supposed to give to God with thanksgiving. All of my offerings are to be with gladness and thanksgiving to God for what he's done for me. But Jonah 2:9 teaches us to give with thanksgiving. He says in Jonah 2:9, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And that's why we do our giving. Because God has bought us with his salvation. He's given us salvation. And we give out of gratefulness to God for his salvation. Amos 4:5, and offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven, and proclaim and publish the free offerings. For this liketh you, O ye children of Israel, saith the Lord God. It's a blessing to you. This liketh you. It's a blessing. It becometh you. It becometh you to do this. Psalm 50, verse 14. Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High. Psalm 107, verse 22. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving, and declare his works with rejoicing. Psalm 116, verse 17. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and will call upon the name of the Lord. So thanksgiving, cheerful heart. It's a major, major teaching in the Bible. All of our giving needs to be with a thankful heart, a heart of cheerful giving to the Lord. And our offerings are to start with the tithe, okay? The tithe, if you're a new believer and you don't know what the tithe is or what that word means, the tithe simply is an old English word meaning tenth. That's literally what tithe means. It's tenth, okay? Old English. It means a tenth of what I make. The tithe is the primary way God designed his work to be supported. God designed the temple to be supported with the tithe. God designed the New Testament church to be supported with the tithe. To be able to financially function. Without the tithe, First of all, every preacher would have to go to work and work 6 days a week like everybody else. And so there would not be the dedicated preachers that there are who can spend their time sharing with others, witnessing, knocking on doors, teaching others, studying and getting ready for the messages and the many things preachers do. Be on call 24 hours a day. So the tithe is what is supposed to make the church financially functionable. Without the tithe of God's people, a church is not going to be self-supporting. It's not going to be a self-sustaining ministry without the tithe. Turn to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, please. These are some basic principles that our giving should meet. Okay? Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. Will a man rob God? Notice it doesn't say Jew there. It says a man. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee in tithes and offerings? Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. Where is God's house today? The church of the living God. That's God's house today. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Somebody might say, well, Pastor, I cannot afford to tithe. Did you know that giving to God is the one single area that God says to his children, test me. Giving to God is the one single area that God directly tells his people, prove me. You are allowed to test me out on this. I will meet your needs, God says, if you honor me in this way. Test me. I dare you, God is saying. Try me. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. Prove me now. That's the testing. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Tithing. And of course, like everything that we believe in the New Testament, we believe in tithing because the tithe was approved by the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to Matthew 23. Matthew 23. All the Old Testament laws that we have assimilated into Christianity are either laws given to all men that are plainly to all men in the Old Testament, not given to just Jews, but they're given to all men, or they are laws that were given to Jews that Jesus Christ or one of his apostles wrote about and said, this is something we do today. Matthew 23, verse 23. Jesus is speaking, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. He says, you need to pay attention to the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. Those you definitely need to do, along with your tithing, and not to leave the tithing undone, he is saying. Luke 11:42, please. Luke 11:42. I'm going to just want to make sure. Sometimes if our broadcast isn't working, I get text from Brother Daniel. By the way, be in prayer for Brother Daniel's wife, Danelle. She is really sick, not able to keep any food down. Morning sickness. Luke 11:42, again, Jesus is saying the same thing. Probably could be this very same situation, the very same instance, but written by Luke. But woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done. You should not have passed over judgment and the law of God. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Don't not tithe. You should tithe. That's what he's saying. So Jesus Christ himself approved the tithe. So that's why we believe in the tithe today. The offerings begin with our tithe, a tenth of my income. And as a Christian grows in faith, this is part of how a Christian grows, by realizing that I should give a tithe. When I got saved, I gave my life to Jesus. Because I gave my life to Jesus, I am now no longer the owner of myself. I no longer even own what used to belong to me. What I own doesn't belong to me. When I gave my life to Jesus Christ, I literally became the property of Jesus Christ. My belongings became the property of Jesus Christ. I now am just a steward of what God has given to me. What I have belongs to Jesus Christ, and I am commanded in the Bible to use what I have wisely, first of all, to provide for the needs of my family, wisely provide for the needs of my family, and then provide for the needs of God's kingdom, the church, and the furtherance of God's kingdom, missionaries. So as we grow in grace and grow in faith, we realize I should be giving to Jesus. And my giving should become a tithe, a tenth of what I possess, of what I make. And then an offering is beyond the tithe. So, but along with the concept of Jesus being the Lord over my life, and the fact that I am simply his steward over his belongings, Jesus gives us a checkup on how we are doing in that concept. Matthew chapter 6, please. When we got saved, we gave ourselves and everything we had to Jesus Christ. You may not have realized that when you got saved, because we don't know everything about the Bible when we are accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior. But when you put two and two together later and realize, I gave my life to God, that means all my stuff I gave to God too, you see. And so I'm now just a steward. I take care of what God owns in my household, you see. And he gives us a checkup. How are you doing with that concept? Matthew 6, verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. One of the things this verse means is how I spend my money is a direct evidence of how much I love Jesus Christ. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If I have put no treasure into Christ's church, and if I have put no treasure toward reaching the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ, that is an evidence that I don't have a heart for those things, you see. I don't have a heart for God's church if I put no money into God's church. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It's a checkup. How are you doing? How much have you invested in God lately? You say you love God. Where your heart is, you've put your treasure. Where your heart is, that is where you put your treasure. You see, a man who loves his vehicle dotes on his vehicle, doesn't he? A man who loves his wife dotes on his wife. A man who loves God dotes on God. How much do you love God? Your checkbook is evidence, is a physical evidence of how much you love God. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where have you put your treasure lately? So giving to the Lord's work, giving to the Lord's work is an evidence that I have a heart for the Lord. Therefore, giving to the Lord's work is an evidence of Christian growth. It's an evidence of your love for Christ. It is an evidence of your faith in Jesus Christ. And again, I'll add it again right here. Finances is the time where God says, do prove me. Do test me. Do try me in this manner. You say you don't have enough money for your bills? Give me some of your money. Test me out. Try me. I will pour open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. So giving to God is an evidence of my love for Christ. It's an evidence of my faith in Christ. It's an evidence that I have faith that God supplies my needs. You see, if I don't give to God, that is an evidence that I am counting on myself to supply all my needs. God says, are you trusting me for your finances? Then give to me. That's an evidence that you're trusting me to actually meet your needs, you see. It's an evidence that I have faith that God will supply my needs. I'm not trusting in myself to supply my needs. I'm trusting in God to supply my needs. And I'm going to give him my tithe as evidence of that. And Paul tells us of the faith of the Macedonian churches. Here, go back to Romans 9. Romans 9, we read about it. Now go back one chapter to Romans 8. Romans 8 and 9 are both all about, with the exception of a little blip about Titus, the rest of these two chapters are all about giving to God. It's the longest section in the Bible devoted, in the New Testament, longest section in the New Testament devoted to giving to God. Two whole chapters back to back, as far as finances are concerned. 2 Corinthians 8:2. Notice the faith of the Macedonian churches. I turned to Romans. 2 Corinthians 8:2. I'll read verse 1 for context. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How that, in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Notice what Paul is saying about these churches. He's saying they were very poor. Their deep poverty. By simply looking at these churches, you would say these churches cannot afford to give anything. If you looked at each of these people's bank accounts, you would have to say, this family cannot afford to give any money to God. They are broke. They're broke. They have bills to pay. They have food that they need to buy. They cannot afford to give one penny to God. They are in deep poverty. But notice, because of their joy in Christ, the abundance of their joy, even though they were in deep poverty, their joy abounded unto the riches of their liberality. They still found a way to give to God, even in their deep, deep poverty. So much so that Paul has to refer to their giving as liberal. Their liberality. They sacrificially gave here quite a sum of money. And of course we don't know what the sum of money was. But it was, for their churches, it was very liberal. This verse is indicating they have strong faith in God. They have strong faith in God that God is going to supply their needs even though they can't afford to give anything to help somebody else. They can't afford to do that, but because they have faith in God, they're going to give it anyway. And they did. Just as a side note, this verse 2, also strongly indicates that they gave above and beyond the tithe. They were very poor, but yet their giving still amounted to a great deal, probably beyond their tithe. So our giving should start with our tithe, but our giving is also supposed to somehow reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Remember that I said the tithe is how a church functions? The tithe of God's people is how a church is supposed to be able to keep functioning, pay the bills. Every church is supposed to eventually, as they are able, pay their pastor. You guys do a great job of that. I'm not talking about my salary at all today. You do a fine job of providing for my needs. Thank you very much. I appreciate that very much. But not only does the tithe, if the tithe goes just to the church and for the church's needs, how then do we reach the world for Jesus Christ? How do we reach the world for Jesus Christ? Obviously, we are told in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, that we are supposed to go. Let's go there for a second. The Great Commission. Matthew 28. Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So obviously here, he's telling his disciples, go to all the ends of the earth, teach them about Jesus, teach them how to get saved. Once they're saved, teach them to observe everything I told you to do, which includes, go ye therefore. So this is a perpetual, self-replicating thing. Go ye therefore, and then the next generation, go ye therefore, and the next generation, go ye therefore. Okay? So as it has come all the way down to us, obviously we are to go ye therefore. But we can't all go ye therefore. I can't go ye therefore. God put me here. I can't go ye therefore to Russia and China and Japan and all the other nations. God put me here. God put you here. So how do we therefore reach the world and fulfill in obedience this commission, the Great Commission? Well, we have to supply foreign missionaries. We have to support foreign missionaries in order to do that. Because it's not physically possible for every Christian to be a foreign missionary. Those who stay are to pay for those others to go. Back in Paul's time, it was a little bit easier in this endeavor to be a foreign missionary. They didn't have all these passports and the paperwork. And, you know, if you just wanted to go to Cyprus, you left Israel on a boat and you went. And so it was pretty easy. They had a lot easier a time to do it. In fact, they could even have a job in the foreign land. Paul was a tent maker. Throughout his missionary travels, Paul said, I support myself by my tent making. I was not supported by hardly any of the churches that I worked with until after I left them, and then Philippi was the main one of them, I believe it was Philippi, who was one of his main supporters, but after he had planted the church and left. While he's at the church, in the location starting a church, he says, I don't take any money from that infant church until they are established. I don't do that. I supply my own needs by tent making. He went to a foreign land, and he was able to work. Guess what? We can't do that today. We can't tell, Brother Nathan, you do a good job mechanicking. Why don't you just go to Russia and be a mechanic over in Russia and then be a missionary over there? That's a good idea. I think you should do that. He can't do that. He's not allowed to work in that nation. We can't just go to different fields and make our own money like Paul did. Things have changed. And so the church had to adjust how it got God's word to those foreign fields. And so now it boils down to the fact that we have to support a missionary from home and send home money into the bank accounts of those missionaries who cannot work in those foreign fields, you see. God has had to teach his children to adjust the way they do things because of the laws of the land. So those who don't go, those who cannot go, or those who choose not to go are responsible, by common sense, to pay for others to go in their place. It's just common sense. If we are not going to take the gospel to the ends of the earth, my money should get the gospel to the ends of the earth, you see. It's just one of those things that it boils down with common sense. We can't all go. obviously. But my money can, and your money can. Okay, so we have freedom and to figure out how to do these things as a church. There's also freedom in how we take up offerings for the support of missionaries. Again, there's freedom to decide which missionary we're going to support. The way we should be deciding on which missionary to support is those who believe as closely as we do. Those who we find who believe as closely as we do about the Bible, about God's Word. We want to support someone who believes the Bible, like I. I don't want to support somebody who doesn't believe Jesus is God. So we have to figure out what the missionary believes. We have to figure out what kind of standards they have. Do they think gambling is okay? Well, then, if they do, maybe we shouldn't support them. We don't believe gambling is okay. We want to support a missionary who is honest, of course. Honest. One who is of good report from his own home church. A missionary has to be qualified to be a pastor. Because that's the main intention why they're going to pastor a church. So you don't support a missionary who has been divorced. They're not qualified to pastor a church. They're not qualified to be a missionary. They could help. They could be in a helps ministry, but as far as if they're going to go try to plant a church, no. You can't support a missionary like that. So they need to virtually all missionaries, with the exception of a few with different kinds of ministries. But basically, a missionary needs to meet the qualifications for a pastor. So how do we take up offerings for these people? Again, there is freedom on how to do that. In the past, we've been relying on totally free will offerings being given to the missions. And I did pass out, I don't know if I kept one for myself. I passed out the report. I did keep one for myself. I'm going to refer to this right now. By the way, I made it so you can go flip, and so it stays the same right side up. You see the missions, 223.28 was the average missions giving of the last year. Our weekly missions expenses is 230.33. We were in the red all year long, averaged out all year long what we have given our word to these missionaries that we would support them with. We've been in the red all year long. And so totally free will offerings has come up short this past year. It actually came up short last year too. I would like to try something new to our church. It's not new. It's not brand new to the world. Lots of churches do this. But it's new to our church. We haven't done it before. It's called Faith Promise Giving. I'd like to try it this year and see how God blesses it. Go back to chapter 9. Where am I? 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And jump over to verse 13. We are given freedom to try different things in giving to missionaries. Look at verse 13. It says, Whiles by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God. I want to experiment this year with this ministry, okay, with this administration of giving. Faith Promise. It's an experiment. We might not do it ever again. We might not try it again next year, but I would like to try it this year. What is Faith Promise? Faith Promise is every individual prays diligently about how much they believe God wants you to give to missions. Every individual. Kids, if you're going to make a faith promise commitment to God, that means you are going to have to figure out how to make the money that you commit to God. I'm not asking the kids to commit daddy's money to God. If you make a commitment, kids, to God, you need to earn that money. You don't go to daddy and mommy and say, Dad, I've made a commitment to give $5 this month to God. Can I have $5, please? No, that's not what we're talking about. You earn your own money to give to God. You make it and you earn it, okay? So every individual prays diligently about how much they believe God wants them to give to missions. Some of you young people, God might not ask you to provide anything because you have no job and you have no way, no idea of how to get money. Okay? So I don't want every child, I don't expect every child to put a card, well, I'll talk about cards later, to give a commitment to God. Okay? Most of you don't make money. Most of you don't have a way to make money. We're talking about those who are making money. Okay? Those who make money. Every individual prays diligently about how much they believe God wants them to give to missions. This is the faith part of the giving. Decide in faith through prayer what God asks of you to give to missions this year. Then, once God has put an amount, and by the way, husbands and wives work together on that, pray together and speak to one another about that. Husbands and wives are together on this. Once God has put an amount on your heart, the individual will promise that amount to God. It's a promise. It's a vow. Okay? This is serious. Do not promise one penny that you do not intend to give to God. Okay? Please. I'm not trying to make this a church full of liars to God. If you don't want to give to God, please do not say you're going to give anything to God. Okay? It would be better you say nothing than lie to God. It'd be far better to say nothing than to lie to God. But if God puts an amount on your heart, then you'll promise that amount to God on a card. I've got Sharon, dig into that in my case and bring me a card. I've got some pre-made already. I forgot to bring one up here. You'll write down on that card anonymously what God put on your heart, $5 a week. $5 every 2 weeks, $200 a month, whatever it is, I don't know. Okay, there's a place here that you can put a check mark, or you could write other amount. So there's $1, $5, $10, $25, $50, $75, $100, $200, $300, or other. And then you say whether it's a weekly gift, if you're going to give $5 every single week of the year, or if you're going to give $5 every 2 weeks, or $5 once a month. Okay? It's either weekly, biweekly, or monthly, please. Or if it's just going to be a one-time offering. God asked me to give $10 one time this year. That's fine, too. Okay? Pray. We're going to give these out at the beginning, the first night of the conference. Don't fill them out right away. Take them home. Pray about them. Ask God what God wants you to give. Take it very seriously. Very seriously. Take it as a vow. Do not vow what you do not intend to pay. Please. It's a commitment. It's a promise to God. And it will be anonymous. There is a place here you can sign your name if you want, but that was just because I copied that block and put that block in there. Okay? You do not have to sign your name to this. You can if you want. That'll tell me who I should bug. No. Don't sign somebody else's name to it either. Brother Ken is going to give. No. It's you. It says my faith promise at the top, okay? Don't put somebody else's name on it. It's your promise to God, okay? Take the card. We're going to give them out Friday night. Take the card and pray about it until Sunday. And Sunday sometime, if God spoke to your heart, then put it in the offering box, okay? The reason that this would be helpful to the church is then I can take all the anonymous promises and then find out what we can expect to have to give to missionaries in the coming year. Right now, we've promised $1,000 a month to missions as a church. We've promised that. We can do better than that. I'm pretty sure we can do better than that. I don't know how many money makers there are in our church. 15, 16, 20, I don't know, I didn't count them. If there are 15 money makers in our church and you divide $1,000 for 4 weeks, you know what you come up with? $73 and something. That's all any one single money maker would have to give per week, per month, excuse me, in 1 month to meet our goal. 15 people in our church have to, one time a month, give $73 and a few pennies, $74. And we would meet our goal, which we have not done for the last 2 years. we have failed on average every week to meet that goal, $1,000 a month. But if we had prior knowledge that there is promised $2,000 to come in every month, we could take on new missionaries. If we wanted to, we could raise the support of the current missionaries we have. You see, knowing ahead of time what we can do would be a great blessing to the church, a great blessing to new missionaries. Several of these missionaries, Brother Gregory, Brother Job Hale, Brother Jed Warren, these are brand new missionaries with very little support. I think Brother Job is at 33% maybe, or 50% support. And Brother Gregory is just starting out. He has his first meeting today in Redmond. So he has, as far as I know, Brother Gregory has no promised support yet. Brother Warren has a little bit of promised support that's coming in, but not much. And so there are three missionaries right there who don't have hardly any support, who cannot go to the field yet. And then there's also other missionaries who are on the field we could support if we wanted to. Brother Mayer is an illustration. We already support Brother Wild. We support him $100 a month. And the children's home that he used to be with in India, $100 a month. And, of course, we support Sister Dorcas in the Burma Church, $200 a month for the whole ministry. We support Brother William, which he currently is still sending all of our support that goes to him down to Guatemala. We need to talk about that after the missions conference is over, what we want to do. So currently we aren't really supporting Brother William in the Dalles. All of the money that we give to him, he sends on to Guatemala, because that was what the deal was when we started supporting him. He was going to plant a church in Guatemala. So he's continued to do that. So anyway, this is the introduction of our faith promise giving. Every individual needs to pray about what God would like you to give to missions this year. It could be a one-time gift. It could be a weekly, bi-weekly, or a monthly gift. Please do not tell God you're going to give something that you are going to fail to give. Okay? But this is a commitment. Absolutely a commitment. It's a promise. Do not make a promise you cannot keep. So there's faith involved. That's why it's called faith promise. I believe I can make this amount of money and give this amount of money to God above and beyond our tithe. I believe I can do that. And by the way, I'm not going back to that $74 per moneymaker is what we would need to meet our $1,000 commitment right now. We're not meeting that, and I know we can. I know we can. I know we can do better, and I'm not trying to boast, but one of the reasons why I know we can do better is, and by the way, one reason I share this is to lead the church and not ask you to do something I'm not doing. But my wife and I give more than double $74 a month to missions. Okay? We give more than double that. So I know we can do it. I know we can do more. I'm not asking you to do any more than what I'm doing myself. The pastor is supposed to lead, and so I am giving to missions. I just want you to know that. But we can do more. We can do more. Pray about what God wants you to do. Don't take this lightly. There is faith involved. It is a promise. Go to God. Go to prayer. Ask God what He wants you to give. Young unmarried men, don't let the flesh get involved. Maybe young unmarried women, don't let the flesh get involved. If you have a job, don't let the flesh get involved and say, well, God wants me to give 100% of what I make. What about your fuel for the year? God's not going to ask anybody to give 100% of what they make. God's not unreasonable. So don't let the flesh get involved and promise something ridiculous. Okay? He'll never ask you to give 100% of what you make. That leaves nothing for you to live on. We're not asking you to be ridiculous with this. We're asking you to sincerely pray about it. Unmarried men that have jobs, God still expects you to save up for a home for someday, for the future. Okay? He's not expecting you to give every penny you make. But God will probably ask you to give something. What is it that God wants you to give? Take it seriously. If you think you can't do it, please don't do it. If you think you can't give anything, then don't turn one of these in. And when you can give, just give freely like we have done before. Just don't turn one of these in. Okay? Please. But what are the benefits of faith promise? I've already kind of hit on most of these. I guess I got ahead of myself. Again, we can add these up, and we could take on new missionaries. How long has it been since we took on a new missionary? Well, we took on Bearing Precious Seed this year. But besides Bearing Precious Seed, when was the last time we took on a new missionary? Way back. A long time ago. I think God wants us to take on a new missionary. I don't know who it is necessarily, but I think we ought to take on a new missionary. I think we can do that. I think we have people that are giving-hearted, and we could do that if we promise something to God here. Again, we could give a raise to the ones we already are supporting. What's the word? Inflation, thank you. Inflation has happened. Our $100 to the wilds doesn't mean the same thing today that it used to mean 5 years ago. So inflation does happen. It would be good to give a raise to the current missionaries that we have so that our support keeps them on the field. Otherwise, eventually, they're going to have to come home and look for new churches to give them some more money to stay on the field. So it would be nice to give our missionaries a raise if we could. It would be nice to take on a new missionary. And again, if 20 people are here with jobs, just 20 people, and again, I don't know what the number is. To give $1,000 a week with 20, $1,000 a month with 20 people, that's just $11.55 a week. I don't want you to raise your hand, but think about how much you spend on coffee or special drinks. That's not water all week long. I think we'd be embarrassed if we had to talk about that to Jesus. How much we spend on coffee, pop, juice, something special. Especially when we're away from home, when we stop at the convenience store, when we pay $3.50 for one bottle of liquid that is gone in 10 seconds. $11.55 for 20 people would reach that $1,000 a month. $11.55 a week. Can you give 12 bucks a week if you have a job? I think you could. I think you could. But faith promise only works if you fulfill your promise, by the way. Faith promise won't work if there's several of us who promise something to God, put it in the offering box, and then don't meet our vow. Okay? That will bring failure to our faith promise giving. Okay? Don't make a promise you're not going to keep, please. Faith promise giving. Pastor, is it the right way? No, it's a way. It's a way to give to missions. There's freedom. Is it better than the way we've been doing it? I don't know. I've never done it before. So I'd like to try it. It's an experiment. God gives us great freedom to try things out. See if something works better for us. I'd like to try it for this year. So I don't know if we'll ever do it again. By the way, this is a one-year promise from 2024 until 2025. So this is not a forever promise, by the way. I guess I should put that in there. We'll just say it verbally, that way we all know. It's not a forever promise. I would like it to be a one-year promise, okay? It's not necessarily the right way to do it, but it's an experiment. I'd like to try it. It is a challenge to give more. I think we can give more. I've seen this church give a lot to missionaries. I think we have a lot more to give, a lot more of a willing heart than we have been giving. But it is a step of faith by everybody who participates. It definitely is. Because if you promise I don't know. If you promise $50 a month to God, you don't necessarily have that $600 sitting in your bank account right now. Or if there is that sitting in your bank account, you might not have that necessarily dedicated to this particular need. Maybe it's in your savings. It's not dedicated for giving to God. It's in faith that you're going to make this money and then give it to God. So in faith, God is going to provide you with the ability to meet this promise. It is a faith-based situation. It's a challenge. It's a challenge given in faith. And that's one of the greatest things in the Christian life, that God wants for each one of us, to increase our faith. In closing, go with me to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 1, verse 3. 2 Thessalonians 1, 3. God wants us to abound, but He definitely wants our faith to grow. 2 Thessalonians 1, 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. God wants our love for others to abound, but God definitely wants our faith to grow. And a promise to God given in faith that we keep is going to help us grow our faith. God will help us, will teach us to rely on Him a little bit more the next year for our needs. It will grow our faith. So this is a useful experiment in more than one way. It's an experiment to take on a new missionary or more than one. It's an experiment to grow your faith in God's provision. So pray about faith promise this week. We'll be giving out the cards the first evening of the missions conference. And Lord willing, we'll be able to reasonably take on a new missionary or two at the end of the conference. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. And thank you, Lord, for the ability and the opportunity and the freedom to try this experiment. Lord, I pray that you would bless it. And Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would use it in a great way, not just to support missionaries and to get the gospel to the ends of the earth, but Lord, to grow our faith, so that we trust you in a better and greater way in the coming year. Blessed, I pray, in Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Let's stand and sing together.